Good evening. I call to order the September 30th, 2024 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rumpf, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting and I ask that you keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will recognize you and you can come forward to the podium. City Clerk Brenda Wheeler must record who you are. So please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your remarks to either me, City Council, or City staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits. And we will begin this evening with the roll call of members.
Aper?
Here.
Paulson?
Here.
Anderson?
Yep.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Sandvold?
Here.
Letcher?
Here.
Heifel?
Here.
All members are present.
Thank you. Please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
Council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5, consider ordinance 2542 on final reading approving a rezone application submitted by the City of Blair, 218 South 16th Street, Blair, Nebraska, to place section 1009 Special Housing District and Overlay District over the Office Park District containing tax lots 276, 279, 282, 283, 284, and 285, section 12 and tax lots 176 and 177, 286 and 287, section 13, all in the Township 18, North Range 11, east of the 6th Prime Meridian, Washington County, Nebraska. And in layman's terms, this is south of Grant Street, east of 10th Street, west of the Union Pacific Railroad tracks, and 900 feet north of Wilbur Street in the City of Blair. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. First up for your consideration is the rezone application sponsored by the City of Blair. This is the third reading. We've gone over this a couple times already. What the City of Blair staff wants to do is run this overlay, which is a special special housing overlay for special housing district overlay, which you can lay over any part of whatever district this is in. This particular case, we're trying to lay this over part of the Office Park, as described before. The Office Park is designed for a buffer zone between the industrial and single family and RMH houses to the west. We think this is a good fit. At one time, there was talk of trying to do single family there. We didn't think that was a good fit. It's been some while, it's been considered. Truck traffic's no longer going up 10th Street. In fact, it ends about the same place at the SOFS that this overlay district is proposed to be placed. There's already an interest for placing condominiums on there. The Planning Commission did recommend approval 6-1, and again, this is the third reading. Part of this special housing district overlay means that besides what is already allowed in Office Park, there are through conditional use permits, there are dwellings like cottage villages, storm shelters, multifamily dwellings up to 48, condominiums, and there's some signs subject to signs, lot coverage, and parking. All this can be addressed individually with that conditional use permit. Again, this would be the overlay markings here, the hatch marks on this area. As it says now, this is the zoning is here, Office Park. The Office Park will not change again. It would just have this extra overlay. So without all the zoning, particularly area we're talking is in here, you can see the different tax lots. There's been some question why part of this goes up there is that's because it is a separate tax lot. So where these is RMH, I believe, while this tax lot is Office Park. Again, these are the tax lots in question. I believe the trucks on 10th Street can't go any farther than this anyway. We think this would be a good place for anything like the condominiums or anything else live it outside of RMH across the road. With that, any questions for council or staff?
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none, would someone like to introduce ordinance?
I will introduce ordinance number 2542.
Do we have to reintroduce it?
Ordinance placing section 109 SHD special housing district and overlay district over the office park district containing tax lots 276, 279, 282, 283, 284, and 285 in section 12 and tax lots 176, 177, 286, and 287 in sections 13, all in township 18 north, range 11 east of 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska, within the Orange Park and Orange Complex here with and providing this motion to be full force in effect and ordinance to be published in pamphlet form.
I move for final passage of ordinance number 2542.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2542 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2542 duly adopted. Item number 6, I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Nielsen Homes and Development Incorporation. J. Nielsen, President, 1730 State in Blair, Nebraska, to allow condominiums on tax lot 177, section 13, township 18 north, range 11, and tax lot 276, section 12, township 18 north, range 11, both east of the 6th Prime Meridian, Washington County, Nebraska, which is also known as 590 South 10th Street, for 20 years. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you again. So now the overlay is in there, so I'm going to put it to use. We do have already a conditional use permit request by Nielsen Homes. Location, again, 590 South 10th Street. Mr. Nielsen plans, and he's going to plan to build three condominiums, total of 15 three-bedroom units with two-car garages. It is office park, but the zoning now allows, through conditional use permit, a chance to build these condominiums. Item has been postponed since August 27th. However, at the Planning Commission meeting at that time, it did receive approval 5-1 with one abstention on the 8th. Again, we're talking this part of town here where the overlay is. Property in question is right here, 590, close to two tax lots just south of the No Name Creek. Area here, separated by tracks and trees in this area. Of course, on the west side, again, of 10th Street, is all residential. Here's a look at the zoning. Property in question's here, residential there. Floodway is not impacting this at all. That's what the lots look like as it is now. This is a sketch of proposed what things would look like that the Nielsen's have provided to us, showing the three condominiums. Another artist's drawing. And another idea there. There will not be any road inside of there. That'll all be private. 10th Street will be the limit of the city's roadway in there. City water, city sewer. Any questions for staff?
Jeff, did you talk to them about their 20-year request? That seems very short when you have a mortgage involved.
We talked about it, but I guess that's where we came up with the idea. So 20 years. I've heard things all over the place on these. Do you do them forever? Do you do them 30 years? We thought 20 years was a good fit. Most likely in 20 years, somebody else may be owning the property anyway, but that's what the request was. Unfortunately, we cannot go longer. We can go shorter.
You can't go longer?
No, not that way.
Well, on this particular application, they could come in and apply for a different application. We could republicize it, do all that kind of stuff. But since it was published at 20 years, you can't go beyond 20 years for this one.
But is the CUP just for the build, correct?
No, it's for the use.
It's for the use. Okay.
Yes. And that runs with the land.
Okay.
I have a feeling they'll be back.
I think so too.
Well, no, I mean, the problem is you go to, if you're, this is a portable home, somebody's going to borrow the money to buy one of these units, they go to the bank and they try to get a 30-year mortgage, and they're going to go, oh, wait, but you might, you only have the right to live in it for 20 years.
Okay. If they ask all those questions, you're probably correct.
Yeah.
Any comments from the public? Any comments from, is the applicant here?
Yep.
They want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, hi, Jeanette Nielsen, NIELSEN 13476, Green Ridge Loop, Blair, Nebraska. Yes, we originally had asked to build something else here, residential, and was denied that, and it was made mention to us actually about doing something a little higher density. So this is something that we asked them to draw up to provide something nice, hopefully still attainable, slab on drain, shelters included, that we felt would be of need in this area.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you.
Thanks.
Brenda, do we have any comments in writing?
No.
I will close the public hearing.
I will make a motion to approve the conditional permit, use permit from Jay Nielsen.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to approve the conditional use permit for Jay Nielsen to allow condominiums off of 10th Street, 590 South 10th. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 7. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Lads Blair, LLC, 100 Matawan Road, Suite 300, Matawan, New Jersey, to allow plastic dental part manufacturing on Tract 1, Mutual Addition of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, which is also known as 9330 State Highway 133, for the life of the building. Is it you again, Mr. Byerman?
It is, but okay. just a couple more times, I'll be
okay. No worries.
This next consideration is for a CUP. The building they're talking about is the former Mutual Walmart building. It's been sitting quite empty up in the south part of town, right on the edge. Property located south edge of Blair 133. Current zoning is ACH Highway Commercial. There is an overlay district that's placed on this, which is Section 108, which is the special mixed use Highway Commercial District overlay. This is an overlay created to accommodate different areas like the Highway Commercial that have kind of a unique area, a unique need that is maybe not covered within the plain zoning. So it's just another tool for Planning Commission and Council to kind of fine-tune any request. This is a conditional use permit, so this may fit some places, it may not fit other places. That's up to council. The exceptions under this is that you can wholesale, storage, warehouse uses, and then two, any industrial manufacturing use which can meet performance standards. Performance standards are like energy, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. We've been assured that these will meet any performance standards needed. Nearest residences to the corner of the buildings are 0.16 miles. Here are the performance standards, going to be physical appearance, fire hazards, sewage, liquid waste, air contaminants, odor, and gases. Also included vibration, glare, heat, noise, anything like that. The Planning Commission recommended approval 6-0 with the stipulation that any added silos, which they may have to add in the future, will not extend above the height of the building. We also suggest that when they talked with us about this CUP, that they were said they're going to be making dental things, dental injection molded parts there. But their injection molding covers other products at different places throughout the Midwest. So we would like to suggest that the language has it includes any sort of injection molding, not just dental parts that are produced at this location. Here's the zoning overlay, ACH, lot in question is lot two, which will build in a, let's say right here, 133, and this is the access road. This is a better view without the zoning overlay. Again, this is the property question. View from Highway 133, by the ways up the hill. This is what the place looks like right now. Still empty, but kept up fairly well. It's a water tower. This is looking south toward 133, the water tower. This is an overhead view of the place, plenty of ample parking. This is a provided interior shot of what the injection molding machines will look like and the place they will take. Any questions for staff?
You mentioned they might do other injection molding products. Yes. Any idea what they're currently doing different than dental things?
I would let them answer that because I would probably just.
We're just curious. I mean, we talking tackle boxes, ATV boxes?
I don't really want to say it because I would, again, just screw it up. So I'll let them answer any questions. Be safer that way.
Why did the Planning Commission stipulate that the towers could not be higher than the building?
I think for visual appearance was the reason. Other than that, that's just what they
said.
But if
you're on the back side of the building, you're not going to see them anyway.
Yeah.
I
think
at the time they agreed to that too, because they talked at that meeting.
Yeah.
And they agreed to that stipulation.
But we're not the expert in injection molding.
Correct.
In any meeting, so.
Correct.
It's silly to put a restriction on that.
Mr. Byerman, the length of request on the application is blank, but the term on the motion says length of the building, life of the structure. What was advertised, you know?
Life of the building. Yeah, advertisement would have been this right up here.
Okay.
So, clerical overshot there, sorry.
Any other questions for staff? Thank you. Any comments from the public? Mm-hmm. Brenda, do we have anybody comment in writing? Mm-hmm. I'll close the public hearing.
Can Mr. Rooks come up and talk about the towers?
Silos?
Are the gentlemen about the towers, you know, are they okay with that restriction?
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Thompson, JFFERYTHOMPSON. I'm the president of Design Plastics, and we will be the ones who will be running the operation itself. As we discussed in the previous meeting at the planning side, LADS is the arm that actually purchases the real estate for us. Design Plastics is the one who's actually going to be running the facility at this point. We have multiple, a question came up before about this. We have multiple things we can do at it. The primary function is going to be making related to dental. In addition to that, though, too, we will have some room left over. As we're one of the leading suppliers in the ATV, well, now it's called UTV market. We also are one involved in agricultural products as well, and other automotive type of things in addition to that, too. So there could be some of that going on. All of our products do not produce any odor. There is no runoff associated with it. The cooling to be able to take care of the machines, as a matter of fact, too, is self-contained, so we will not have any sort of issue at that point as well, too. In addition to that, too, the machines are exceptionally quiet. They're going to be contained inside the building. You will not hear anything any distance from the facility at all. As a matter of fact, you could stand outside the facility and you would not hear that, too. What we agreed to was, and it was brought up before, was there was an issue. When we first brought this forward, was about the silos themselves. And the question was more of an aesthetic type of look at that point. We agreed to the stipulation that if the silos were not as, if they weren't just as tall as the building did, that would be fine for us. We could work into it at that time. So again, that was, we want to be good neighbors around here right there too, and we thought that would be a fine stipulation to be able to have. So we can obviously find something in that point. The silos will not be needed immediately. And the reason being is it's going to take us a little bit of time to get things built up, to get things out there. We're going to have between 50 and 75 people just for that function right there. And so again, we want to make sure we're being good neighbors to begin with right off the top. So.
Will those be new hires or will it be transfers?
New hires, 100% new hires.
Thank you.
Right there too. Yep. Matter of fact, what we're doing is just whatever the, just an aside right here too, What we're doing is we're getting product that is being made now in China, and I'm not saying that like I'm being anti-China. We're thinking there's an opportunity to make the stuff in America. That's why we're bringing it here. So we're going to come back here. We're going to go try our best to do that.
Cheers.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the conditional use permit submitted by Lads Blair LLC for the life of the building with the stipulation the silos do not extend the height of the building.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the conditional use permit submitted by Lads Blair LLC. Please register your vote.
Did we have to add the other part that it can be more than just dental moldings? No? Yes?
We do.
Let's see. I mean, you recommend
it. I was going to put it in the minutes, but do we need to make it part of the motion?
Why would we need to do that? Because they said dental.
That's why.
The subject says it.
Plastic dental part manufacturing is a subject, so. I'll make a motion to amend the previous motion to remove the word dental from the subject or the conditional use permit.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Council, does this work? We're looking at the notice.
Okay.
Got it.
If it was to allow plastic dental part manufacturing at the same as the 20 years of the previous one, and so if we advertised dental part manufacturing, the only concern is that we'd be deviating from what the notice stated. So it doesn't mean, though, that as Tal and I were just discussing, they couldn't come back and ask to amend their CUP to allow for that extra.
Okay.
And,
I'll strike my motion.
Okay.
Should we second that?
Nope. How was and how did the vote come out? Motion passes. Item number 8, I'll open a public hearing to consider a replat application submitted by First Christian Church, 1133 North 28th Avenue, Blair, Nebraska, for lots 4, 5, 6, and 7, and Outlot A, Bella Vista First Edition replat. A replat of lots 2 and 3, Bella Vista First Edition, a subdivision in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, which is also 1133 North 28th Avenue. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you. Our last consideration for planning and zoning tonight, at least, is the replat application at First Christian Church, northwest part of what? Bella Vista First Edition, northwest part, subdivision currently zoned RL, residential low density. This zoning will not change. Property is being divided into 4 lots, with the church being part of the replat on lot 4. A church owns this rather large area up there. They want to replat it to 4 different lots, keep one for themselves, and the rest of it's going to be for sale already to a homeowner. Lot 5 will contain 5 acres, 6, 5, lot 7 will be 3.37, of course, the lot of the church will be 4.46 acres. There will be one outlot for a private drive to serve all 3 properties. This is approximately 1.59 acres, that will be a private road. Again, the city will not have a road into this area because it would have to be a cul-de-sac and would not serve the city of Blair. So through the condominium language, all 3 property owners can work through the condominium language to own their land, but then it's outlot A, which is also attached to their property, which means they could have the private road as prescribed or okayed by the city, and they have their one access to the public roads. Sewer will be private. There's enough area up there through the state of Nebraska. The state of Nebraska says differently, then the developer will have to deal with that at the time. Water will be supplied by the city. Planning Commission did recommend approval time to 1. Here is a large property in this part of town. Church being 1133. This is Westwoods Drive, 28th Avenue. This is a zoning overlay, RL residential low density, surrounded by medium density on across the road. This is ag and is out of Blair City. Closer shot of the area. Homes, private homes right there. This is what the plat will look like as it's overlaid on this. The church's lot, this would be the outlot, the road. It will be surveyed with three parcels. This is what's going up the hill. It shows the church. This is looking east from the top of Westwoods Drive. And again, the plat without the underlay. So your outlot A, which will be the road, three other lots here, lot four. This is the common connection to the public roads. And just the entire replat. Any questions for staff on this?
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Brenda, do we have anybody respond in writing?
No.
Okay, I will close the public hearing.
I will introduce resolution number 2024-70.
Resolution number 2024-70 was introduced by Councilmember Sandoval to approve replat application submitted by First Christian Church, 1133 North 28th Avenue, Blair, Nebraska, for lots 4, 5, 6, and 7, and Outlot A, Bella Vista First Edition replat, a replat of lots 2 and 3, Bella Vista First Edition, a subdivision in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, address 1133 North 28th Avenue.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 2024-70.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-70. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 9, consider resolution 2024-71. Approving LB 840 application from PSB LLC, doing business as Prairie Star Botanicals, 321 North 16th Street for machinery equipment acquisition to expand business. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor, council members. So, Jeff, thank you for all that good planning stuff. Appreciate that. Just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction to the item here, and then Mike Rooks with Gateway Development Corporation is going to get up again. They oversee our LB 840 program for the City of Blair. Just a reminder that our advisory committee met last month, discussed this particular issue. Generally, they're looking at it from a, is this kind of worthy of public support? And then oftentimes they do make a recommendation, but that recommendation then goes to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee met earlier tonight, talked over the details, and so really the recommendation that Mike's going to go over tonight is really coming to you as the full council from the Finance Committee, and they can share any of the details that they'd like to share regarding that. You know, LB 840 oftentimes is thought of as a program that supports the big companies that come to Blair, and yet we're excited to see that this is a fund that's available for, you know, smaller businesses, ones that, you know, maybe don't have the capital that others do, and yet are doing a great project and, you know, help get the name of Blair out in the economy. So we appreciate their application. So Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Phil. Mike Rooks, Gateway Development, 11916 South 13th Avenue, Pelion, Nebraska, 68046. Phil, I stole some of my thunder there, but no, I'm very excited about having, this is another small business. You know, we've had a couple big ones recently, some housing, and it's good to get back to the small business. So before us tonight, we have Prairie Star Botanicals, and they came in front of the LB 840 Advisory Committee last month. Their total project is valued roughly at $65,000. They were looking for $25,000. After a good session at LB 840, we came to the agreement that what we'll be looking at is $15,000 from LB 840. Half of that would be in a grant and half of that would be in a loan. And the other $10,000 would be coming from Prairie Star Botanicals within the first year, showing the supplies that would be involved. Gateway would be doing that audit to confirm everything, and everything else would be going the same. With what they are doing, they are looking at a minimum sales value of minimum growth of 15% in sales growth, and then as far as volume production, over 50% growth. They have everything built out and ready to go. I am not going to try to explain everything with Prairie Star. Before I bring Paige and Aaron up, do you have any questions for Gateway?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening, council members. My name is Aaron Hill, and this is my wife, Paige. Last name, H-I-L-L, address 2078 Colfax Street. And we are the proud new owners of Prairie Star Botanicals as of March this year. Bought it from the previous owner. And for those of you that do not know who we are or what we do, we manufacture herbal products primarily in the forms of salves and tinctures, which is an alcohol-based extract of a plant taken orally under the tongue. And then salve is an infused oil mixed with beeswax applied topically to the skin. And we are not a CBD shop. We do not plan to carry, produce, or sell CBD, CBD products, vape, smoke, tobacco, etc. And for Prairie Star, our focus is on bioregional herbalism, which is primarily focused on the Nebraska-Iowa region using local plants in our area that we either source from local growers or wildcraft in approved areas. And that is one of the
things that make our business special from other companies who do something similar. So we make our products from fresh material found in our area. All right, we are in the middle of a three-phase process. Phase one was completed just after purchasing the business in March, which was about $10,000 in extra funds for materials that we can put into production and make products. We are at phase two, which, as was stated earlier, is about $25,000 in total. The LB 840 is proposed to supply about $15,000, and that's in part grant and part loan, and Prairie Star will provide the additional $10,000. Again, that's for equipment purchases. And then the third phase of that is going to be hiring on at least one full-time employee, which is roughly about $30,000 per year. With the help of the LB 840 grant, we are going to take what might be about a five-year project and shorten it to closer to a two-year project. As was stated earlier, too, the added materials and equipment that we are gaining from this project will allow us to increase our sales by about 15% by next year. And we've already started increasing the volume of our production by 50%. We wanted to show you guys a little bit of where we came from, where we're at now, and what this project is going to get us to in the future. This is a picture of the building in 2014. This is what it looked like when I first was hired on. No sign, sad yellow, kind of looks vacant. In 2016, we got a fresh coat of paint, but you can still see there's no sign, it's not very inviting to go into. At this point, we've got a sign. We've got our learning gardens out front, which is used for our monthly herb walks, as well as other educational purposes. Inside the building, we started off with a little tiny lab space, about two tables. Today, this is what our expanded lab space looks like. And with the added equipment, we're going to expand this area further inside the building. We started off, this was our very first hydraulic press, a very small capacity, and it was all manual. So a lot of people had to quit because of their shoulders. We upgraded to an automatic press, which is about five times the capacity. We're going to get an additional automatic hydraulic press, as well as a specific oil press for SAP production with this grant money. Speaking of SAVs, this was our original SAV processing, a makeshift double boiler. We could do about 100 SAVs at a time with that. We're going to get 2 8-gallon wax melters, which would allow us to make 1,000 SAVs in a day. By helping to support Prairie Star, we're allowed to support our local growers in both Nebraska and Iowa, and to support our local community by having products in stock when you guys all come to visit. Any questions?
You have you produce salves and skin creams, that type of thing. You do any like lip balms? Or?
We don't do very many like beauty product kinds of things. Most of ours is intended for health benefits, like we have a vein away salve for varicose veins. We have a scar salve, first aid salve, things of that nature, rather than, like I said, beauty products.
Our primary focus is the liquid herbal extracts. We produce over 200 different tinctures and glycerides, as well as pre-blended formulas. And that's where our main focus is, which is also part of our intentions behind the fresh plant material for manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. What is a tincture?
It's very similar to vanilla extract, but in place of vanilla, we use other herbs. You have herbs soaking in alcohol, and that alcohol extracts certain constituents from the plants. And then you press off your liquid and discard your solids, and liquid is your tincture. And it's taken orally, under the tongue, and each herb is used for different reasons.
Thank you. Very thorough presentation, Paige and Aaron. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee did meet. Did you have anything else? Okay. Didn't want to get in front of you. Finance Committee did meet. We were under the agreement that we should follow what their recommendation was for the combined total of the $15,000. So with that, I would like to introduce resolution number 2024-71.
Resolution number 2024-71 is introduced by Councilmember Hafer, approving LB 840 application for PSB LLC doing business as Prairie Star Botanicals, 321 North 16th Street, for machinery equipment acquisition to expand business.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2024-71 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-71 as presented. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number. Nope. You're welcome. Oh, I thought he was going to say something. Item number 10. Consider ordinance 2545. Authorizing the sale of Lot 8, South 10th Street subdivision in Blair, Nebraska, Washington County, Nebraska, to Ryan Schroeder. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and Council members, I am pleased to bring to you tonight a purchase offer for the very last of the lots that the city owns along 10th Street. So, as you recall, when the development was going on for Dollar General, and 10th Street was being put in. There were a variety of lots that were created along 10th Street, the land owned by the city. It was our intention then to sell those off and have some light industrial type development done in there, even as the relatively new aerial photos show. We've got two buildings that have already been constructed along that stretch. This is the very last lot that's up for sale against Lot 8. It's an odd-shaped little lot. It's smaller than all the other lots that were along that entire stretch. It's got a little easement that runs through it from a utility purpose, but it still has a purpose, and so we're excited to have this offer come before you. The original offer did a really good job of kind of showing the price per square foot that everyone else had been roughly paying along that stretch. It's equivalent, again, but a smaller lot. They did make an offer, we counter-offered, and they agreed to the counter-offer of $33,000. So, answer any questions that you may have. And again, since this is a lot owned by the city, there's a remonstrance period. It's typical when cities go to get rid of property, the citizens have an opportunity, if enough of them would object to that, that they could file a motion of remonstrance. I don't think it's ever happened in my lifetime, or I don't even know if it ever happened in Rod's lifetime, his time here. But it is something that kind of delays the process a little bit for 30 days.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee.
We met on this and would love to not be in the real estate business anymore.
Amen.
So with that, I will introduce ordinance number 2545.
An ordinance authorizing the sale of Lot 8, South 10th Street Subdivision, City of Vernon, Washington County, Nebraska, providing for notice of such sale to be published for 3 consecutive weeks immediately after passage of this ordinance, authorizing the mayor to enter into a purchase agreement with Brian Schroeder, buyer, to make all notifications required under Nebraska Revised Statute 16-32. Including notification of the right of remonstrance, providing for all ordinance prosecutors conflict for witness, provided to be repealed, herewith to be repealed, and provided that said ordinance shall be in full force and effect following passage and publication as required by law, ordinance be published in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading of 3 different days be suspended for consideration of the said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question for the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on 3 different days be suspended? Absolutely. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance offering the sale of Lot 8, South 10th Street Subdivision, City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, providing for the notice that shall be published for 3 consecutive weeks immediately after the public, after the passage of the ordinance, authorizing the mayor to enter into a purchase agreement with Brian Schroeder, buyer, to make all notifications required under the Nebraska Revised Statute 16-02, including notification of the right of remonstrance, providing for all responsible and conflict therewith, to be repealed and provided that said ordinance should be full force in effect following passage of publication required by law, and ordering the ordinance published in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of ordinance 2545.
Second.
Question.
The question now before the council is, shall ordinance number 2545 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2545 duly adopted. Item number 11. Consider ordinance 2546, setting and fixing the compensation for the officers and employees of the City of Blair for fiscal year 2024 and 2025. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Do want to remind the citizens that are here tonight that if they're interested in looking into this information, all the stuff that you see upon the screen is available through this particular program called Spark, and it's available through the city's website. So you can go out there and look at any of these attachments. If you wanted to see any of this information, it's all publicly available for people. City of Blair, over probably, I guess, at least the last 10 years or more, historically has set salaries on a 2-year rotation. And so we do them for 2 years out. Salaries were set, therefore, last year for both the current fiscal year that is ending today. Today's the last day of the fiscal year. October is the beginning of our new fiscal year. And so this coming year's salaries were set last year. One of the things, though, that we talked with the employees about was the requirement that we have here in the state of Nebraska to do comparability studies. Years ago, when the Nebraska State Legislature took away the right for public employees to strike, the compromise was that you have to be paid a comparable wage to others in a comparable kind of job that you're in with a comparable kind of city. And the way they describe comparable is it would be another city that's not smaller than half your size or larger than twice your size. That's the sweet spot that they're shooting for. And so municipalities have to have comparability studies done every once in a while. Historically, Blair has done those. We were very adamant with our employees that we wanted to make this information completely available to them and help them be able to see exactly the same information that we've been dealing with. So we had the study done. Ben Gould did an excellent job working with our staff, working with the contractor for this comparability study. We sat down with our employee group, kind of showed them where the numbers were, ultimately sat down with the finance committee and went over the changes that we have here. So Jeff, why don't you bring up Exhibit B. Exhibit B is our little pay chart, and again, for those who may not be familiar on the public side, that when you hire an individual, They end up starting at a certain grade and a certain step within that grade. And as long as they're a satisfactory employee and doing all that they should be doing, you move up on a yearly basis through the various steps until you max out at the various high point for whatever municipality. And municipalities sometimes have 4, 5, 6, 7 different steps that are out there. We've got 7 different steps that you reach over 6 years because you go through the very first one after just 6 months and demonstrate that you're an employee who can understand and handle the job and the position. And then you go on from there. So what this chart shows is a variety of things in color. All the things that are in black are the previously agreed to salary ranges and steps that they're on. And I really challenge you, you have to think positions here, don't think individuals that are filling those positions, because not everybody is on, you know, step H, if you will, because they haven't been with us long enough. But for those who've been around at least 6 to 7 years, most have tapped out at those high points. So the black ones have now changed. The red ones are new positions that the council had discussed and allowed us to go ahead and put in this chart. Again, they're not new positions that we're hiring right now. If you haven't seen the job descriptions yet, we'll be bringing those to you over the next few months to hopefully get those approved by you. If we do, then we'll go ahead and advertise for those particular positions. It's the green ones that we're primarily focusing on tonight. In each of these green positions, and you'll notice there's quite a few of them throughout the list, through the comparability study showed that we were underpaying that particular position compared to either, and I want to stress, either the actual cities that we would compare with, again, not smaller than half our size, not larger than twice our size, either we weren't compared sufficiently with them or with our market cities. Blair has always acknowledged that we're in the Omaha metro area. And therefore, we have a large market. A lot of our employees live in the Omaha metro area. A lot of people who live in Blair work in the Omaha metro area. And so there's a lot of movement back and forth. This is our market. We need to be competitive if we're going to continue to maintain high-quality employees. So the comparability study that we had done for us showed both those cities that were actually statutorily comparable to us, as well as the market cities. And then we have the flexibility within that to kind of pick the range that we want to, as long as we meet the minimum midpoint for what that comparability is. So we wrestled quite a long time internally with staff, again, met with employees, like I said, talked it over, then finally with the finance committee, and this is ultimately the list that we're bringing to you. Now, if you want to see it in another form, Exhibit C shows the same positions that are in green on this particular chart, but just simply lists out what step they currently are, or what grade they're currently at, and then what grade they're going to be moving to. And again, kind of ignore the steps, because it always goes from the low end to the high end. So with that, I'll take any questions that you may have, or again, the Finance Committee did go over this and has a recommendation.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee?
Finance Committee did meet, and, okay, I'm... How do you get back to?
Did yours go to that?
Yeah.
Mine did too.
Yeah. How do you?
I just clicked on the X and then go to agenda
okay.
item.
Okay. I was like, sorry, I couldn't see what I.
I was the same way. I'm like, talk.
All right. So Finance Committee did meet. We did agree with the suggestions, obviously from the comparability study. So with that, if no one has any questions, I would like to introduce ordinance number 2546, setting and fixing the compensation for the officers and employees of the City of Blair for fiscal year 2024-2025.
An ordinance setting and fixing the compensation for the employees of the City of Blair, Nebraska, not represented by the lodge number 83 for the fiscal year 2425 within Mount Orange, Nebraska, complex herewith. Providing the information to be full force in effect and providing for publication of ordinance and pamphlet form.
I move the statutory ruling regarding reading of three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please vote.
Thank you.
All right, let's start this.
Move over.
How about that? Did it pop up?
Yep.
All council members present voting aye.
I move final passage of ordinance.
Oh, I think she has to read the ordinance first.
Sorry.
No worries. You're just putting it on.
Don't pause. Not revenue by FOB Lodge number 83 for fiscal year 2024-2025. Revealing all orange parts of women's council chair with him providing when this one shall be full force and effect and providing for publications, ordinance, and pamphlet form.
I move final passage of ordinance 2546.
Second. Question.
The question for the council is, shall ordinance number 2546 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2546 duly adopted. Item number 12. Consider resolution number 2024-72 approving revisions to the personnel manual effective October 1st, 2024 for the City of Blair employees. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor, again. And again, just want to reiterate on that last item, I really appreciate the involvement of all of our employees and their feedback was tremendously helpful. I hope they understand how important they are to us and the huge role that they play on behalf of the city. We've got several different changes to the employee manual that we anticipate bringing to you in the days to come. But tonight we have just two simple ones that we're doing primarily because we're trying to align these with what you're going to see coming up on the agenda, which is the FOP contract with our police department. Ben Gould has been working on this diligently. So Ben, I'm going to ask you to come on up if you want to kind of go over these two little items that are being changed tonight. That's your state. You got your paperwork.
Right.
So appreciate all the hard work that Ben and Aaron have been putting into this. Like I said, there's going to be a lot more policy changes and suggested tweaks that we're going to be bringing to you in the days to come. But these two, again, primarily line up with the SLP. So thanks, Ben.
Absolutely. Good evening, Ben Gould, HR manager. Thank you for letting me speak tonight. So really the two items tonight will be on the bereavement leave section and our sick leave sections. So the first in front of you, we have the bereavement leave. Again, looking at the wage comparability study, doing these FOP negotiations, looking at our current handbook, we felt that we were a little bit lagging in the market in our comparability cities and what we were providing to our citizens, our employees. So the bereavement leave, I should say that the numbers stayed the same. It just got a little bit confusing, convoluted, whatever word you want to put, insert there. We really just shortened that section just to show that, hey, we have 24 hours that in case of a death in an employee's family, they can use that time to go and grieve and be with that their own family. In the former handbook, it talked about and defined what is an immediate family member. And if you have a death with a non-immediate family member, you get 2 days. Well, we already said you get 3 days. Do you get 5 days? You just get two out of the three, so then you have 1 day that you get to use a needed family. So it got too confusing. We wanted to keep it a little bit simpler. So we're still providing the same amount of total days for full-time employees. Part-time employees are prorated, but we're still providing that 24 hours or 3 days for our employees for the funeral leave. The second portion is the sick time. Again, this was really the basis of the wage comparability study. We also don't know if it was maybe just a fat finger because the former accrual rate, so employees can accrue per pay period a certain amount of hours of sick time to use at a later date. What it currently says is a full-time eligible employee shall accrue 3.577 hours per pay period. What we want to change it to is 3.75. And so that's the accrual rate now that we're presenting tonight. Again, looking at the wage comparability study that Phil was talking about earlier, we were actually almost the last or second to last city that was lagging in this section. So a lot of them were comparable to 3.75, so we wanted to jump back in and give the employees what is comparable. That also shows for the sick leave, for the max accrual amount, we don't have an annual amount that employees can accrue up to. They can have just a lifetime max of how long they've been here. That's changing from 928 hours to 944 hours. So those are the two sections. I will have any questions for you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee?
We did meet on this, and you know, with the wage comparability study and what Ben has done, and it looked awful good to us, so I will make a motion to introduce Resolution 2024-72.
Resolution number 2024-72 was introduced by Councilmember Sandel, approving revisions to the personnel manual effective October 1st, 2024 for the City of Blair employees.
Make a motion to adopt Resolution 2024-72 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution number 2024-72. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 13, consider resolution 2024-73, approving an agreement between the City of Blair and Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 83, dated October 1st, 2024 through September 30th, 2025. Mr. Green?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to sneak in here real quick because I always want to take an opportunity to just compliment our staff and to let you know the fantastic job that they continue to do. So this was a relatively could have been relatively complicated, but turned out to be a fairly straightforward process that we had with the FOP this year. Katie Ferrari is a main reason for that. So I just want you to know that what a blessing it has been to have somebody full-time on staff. I drag her into way too many meetings probably than she wants to go to, but it's really, really helpful to have her around, to have her aware of what's going on. And I really think it has allowed our productivity for these kinds of large projects to really be enhanced, and I look forward to even greater things in the future. So prior to turning this over to Katie, thank you.
Ms. Ferrari, and I will tell you the council echoes Mr. Green's sentiments.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So tonight we have before you the agreement for the Blair FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 83. Today is the last day of our contract. Tomorrow starts a new contract if you approve it tonight. We did go through quite an extensive review of their contract, and if you opened up the red line, you probably saw a lot of changes. A big part of that boils down to the previous contract did not have a set out for sick leave and FMLA. They were kind of interwoven and caused some confusion and maybe didn't follow what some of the federal laws were. So we broke that out and broke them apart. So now they reflect what they should. Additionally, the FOP agreed to follow a lot of the city policies. So we upped their education incentive to be in line with the city's policy of $200 an hour. The bereavement leave that Ben reviewed with you is now in the FOP contract as well. The vacation table will now follow the city's vacation table, so there will be no errors in that realm. Life insurance will now match what the city is offering all of its employees, and sick leave will match what our city follows as well. The changes that came into the contract that are more extensive are certified officers who are training officers. So that would be your taser instructor, emergency vehicle, driving instructor, anything of that nature. They're going to receive an 80 cent bonus on top of their hourly wage anytime they're administering that training. We did offer a night shift differential of 50 cents from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. for officers who are working that night shift in an attempt to incentivize those types of hours and offer something to officers who are losing out on probably a main part of their day because they're sleeping. Additionally, we are looking to implement an on-call policy that would have an officer available at all times, whether it be during the day or at night, to respond to calls if a sergeant feels that they need assistance. That on-call policy would mean that either a detective or task force officer would be available at any time. They're compensated at Monday through Thursday, an hour of their base rate. Friday through Sunday, 2 hours of their base rate, and holidays, 2 hours of their base rate. That is not time that can be used for overtime. It cannot be comped out. It cannot be flexed out. It's just straight pay they receive because they are on call. That means that they cannot leave a certain distance away from the city. They have to be responding within a reasonable amount of time, generally 30 minutes. They have to follow our drug and alcohol policy and be available via Teams messenger, phone call, anything of that nature. Additionally, we did negotiate a new wage table that was in the contract as well. This is a 1-year contract.
There, we did add two clauses to the contract that would allow us to offer things to the FOP that generally we'd not be able to outside of contract negotiations. So it's our hope that if for some reason the city were to offer a new holiday or offer a new benefit, we could go to the FOP and offer it to them as well, and we wouldn't have to reopen negotiations and we wouldn't fall behind. Because if some of you remember this year, we had an incident with Juneteenth where officers were not supposed to receive that holiday, but our payroll software gave them that holiday. So this will hopefully keep them in line. We won't run into issues like that again. We will renegotiate this contract again for another start date of October 1, 2025, and hopefully go into a two-year contract and then potentially a four-year contract with two-year wage negotiations within those 4 years. Any questions?
Thank you.
I don't think so. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any comments from the public? Having none?
Is there a member of the FOP here tonight who would like to comment on that? I'd like to hear. We heard this side of the story. I'd like to hear the other side.
Detective Pathway, HATAGWAY, with the president of the Blair FOP, their Canadian Boss Drive. I guess. Do you have questions? Or?
No, I just, like I said, how was the process? Do you thought it was fair? Anything you don't like?
It was a fair process. It was a good process, quick process. FOP was very thankful that we were brought up to some of the same things that the city got that was left out of our last contract. So we're thankful that we were brought up to that. So yeah, it was a good process.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job.
Finance Committee.
We did meet on several times and some extensive meetings, I guess. Felt that what the FOP was asking for was fair, and wanted to make sure that they wanted to continue to work for the city of Blair. And so with that, I would like to introduce resolution 2024-73.
Resolution number 2024-73 was introduced by Councilmember Sandoval, approving an agreement between the City of Blair and the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 83, dated October 1st, 2024 through September 30th, 2025.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2024-73 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-73. Please register your votes.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 14, consider resolution 2024-74 to approve the amended Blair Police policies and procedures establishing an on-call investigative policy. Ms. Ferrari.
So in the contract that you've just approved, there is an on-call policy, and in order to hold the officers who this policy applies to, we felt it was important to develop a policy that they needed to follow. So this policy outlines the purpose, as well as covers the fact that they need to be available within a reasonable amount of time. That is generally 30 minutes. Availability should be that they're fit and sober for duty at all times when they are on call. We did leave it a little, not vague, but we did leave it up to the discretion of the office to set up a schedule. And so that will come down to the chief or his designee to set up a schedule, ensuring that one of the officers is available at all times. Notification will be face-to-face by telephone or Teams message or by portable radio. It is on the sergeant to determine this. You will see that we reference policy 507, which is a notification criteria that detectives have currently to kind of give guideline for the officers when they want to make a call out, how they should be making that call out, and what are call outs that would be appropriate. Additionally, they need to abide by our drug and alcohol policy, and it also goes into the fact that hours on call hours don't count towards hours worked and cannot be banked for comp time or use of slack time.
Any other questions for Ms. Ferrari? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee, you've been busy tonight.
Yes. and again, on this, we met and feel that we wanted to make sure that they knew what our expectations were of them and that they would be compensated for that policy. So with that, I will introduce Resolution 2024-74.
Resolution number 2024-74 was introduced by Councilmember Samville to approve the amended Blair police policies and procedures establishing an on-call investigative policy.
I will make a motion to adopt Resolution 2024-74 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution number 2024-74. Please register your votes.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 15, consider resolution number 2024-75 for the purchase of a new pumper fire truck for the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Chief Leonard's going to come up here and join me as well. Just a couple comments from me on the process that we went forward with. The resolution before you states this as well regarding this piece of fire apparatus. Again, the Volunteer Fire Department greatly appreciate all the tremendous amount of time and effort and hours that they put in on behalf of the citizens of Blair. They formed a committee that sat down, kind of worked through the details of what they're looking for when it comes to this kind of fire apparatus. They put a lot of time and effort into talking with the various vendors and the kind of equipment that they had. We did solicit bids then for this. It was advertised in the newspaper. We ended up with two different bids, one from E1, one from Pierce. And so I'm going to allow Chief Leonard to kind of go over those. My recommendation to you as the council is, number one, that you would, I guess, understand first that this is not your typical kind of bid project where we're doing a street and basically it's built pretty much the same way by any company. You know, they buy rock, they buy, you know, concrete, they go through the similar kinds of processes, and so therefore you can do an actual bid based on item or something like that. These fire trucks are very, very unique, built by these various different companies. So I would equate this much more like an FAQ, or FRQ, a request, or RFQ, sorry, a request for qualifications that we sometimes would do for, say, an engineering firm, than a request for an actual bid or something like that. You just can't always compare apples to apples. I'm going to allow the chief, though, to kind of describe the aspects of the one truck that they're interested in the most, the reasons why, and even though it may be a little bit more expensive than anything else on the bid options, that is something that's allowed for you to go ahead and select based on those criteria. My suggestion to you then is make sure that it comes with a performance bond. We've, you know, found out from some construction projects recently that's very, very important to have those insured and bonded that way. So in case there's some problem along the way, you can be covered by that. And then I would also recommend then that you authorize up to the maximum dollar amount that's listed. My understanding is both of these bids are good for 30 days. That would give us an opportunity then to sit down with the vendor that's selected and talk about what their finance program looks like. You know, whether it's 100% down, whether it's 50% down, what kind of opportunities would we have there from a financial perspective? And if there's something other than just paying for it in the future when it's delivered to us at that set dollar amount, we'll bring that back to you at the next council meeting for you to give us your opinion on and decide one way or the other. So, Chief, I'll turn it over to you.
Hang on, Chief.
Thanks.
Make a motion to receive and place on file the bids for the purchase of a new pumper fire truck for the Blair Volunteer Fire Department.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to receive and place on file the bids for the new pumper truck. Please register your vote.
Council members present voting aye.
Motion passes.
Thanks, Chief.
Chief.
Hi. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Joe Leonard, LEONARD, 1303 Maple Drive, Blair. This has been a very long process. We've been going through this process for well over a year with our two vendors, McQueen, who is our Pierce rep, and Central Emergency Vehicles. I believe that's what Central Emergency Vehicles, which is our E1. rep. Both of these apparatuses are built from the ground up. So if you were to go to their factories, they're identical trucks. The one thing that stands out is we met with these individuals several different times to go over our needs and what we like. Pierce, I will say, stands out right now for us. They have a pump that is called the PUC. It stands for pump under the cab. So it eliminates a lot of the compartmental areas that are taken up. So we get a lot more space that we can use to put tools. With that truck, it allows us to respond more efficiently within the city and not have to have other trucks. We can put more tools on that truck and be able to still get some of our city aerial out right away. So with that truck, it's just beneficial. We met with the fire and police committee on this. We spoke about it. The fire truck committee, we tossed this around for several weeks. If you go look in our bays over at the fire station, you will see a lot of E1s. E1s have been a very big apparatus for us over the years. With Pierce coming in, they're a competitor. The one thing, like I said, with Pierce, they just offered that pump under the cab, and it allowed more space for us to do what we need to do. Anything else from me?
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Any comments from the public?
One thing I might add, just so you don't have to do all the math yourself if you're wondering, so again, the way Pierce broke their bid down, it gave the maximum sale price there for the truck itself. If you wanted the performance bond, they asked for additional dollars for that, so it's $3,221 for that. So the total of the maximum price and the performance bond, $1,252,221. So 1252221.
And that was with the performance bond?
Correct.
Thank you. Police and Fire Committee.
Sir?
The Police and Fire Committee did meet several times. We sat in with the firemen, looked at the plans, the drawings. They did look very similar, as Joe said, but they liked the pump under the cab so they could fit more things in. It makes this more of a versatile truck to go out to calls. So we kind of discussed it and thought that with their recommendations, we would like to suggest taking the bid from Pierce. So I would like to introduce Resolution 2024-75.
Resolution number 2024-75 was introduced by Councilmember Paulson, awarding the bid to Pierce for the purchase of a new pumper fire truck for the Blair Volunteer Fire Department.
In the maximum amount of $1,252,221.
With a performance bond.
Yeah.
Someone like to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-75 as presented.
Joe, we had some discussion about this. Can we sell sponsorship sign on the side of this, maybe?
Like NASCAR.
If you think this truck is expensive, wait till we do the aerial here in a couple of years.
And just for the...
That's your truck, too.
Yeah. Just for the public knowledge, you said this will be, what, 3 years out?
Yes, this is 30 to 36 months.
Takes that long to manufacture.
30 to 36 months.
Okay. Thank you.
Did everyone vote?
Mm-hmm. All members present, voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 16, consider resolution 2024-76 designating depositories for city funds and to authorize the mayor together with the city treasurer and the city clerk to open and maintain accounts along with signing checks, drafts, and other withdrawal orders. That's a lot of responsibility.
It's right. So thank you, Mayor. This is a pretty routine annual ritual that we get to go through, designating the depositories for the banks that we would be holding our funds in. No changes are being recommended 2 years, so it still references Washington County Bank and RBR Bank. Now, one of the things that they asked us to do as well this year was to specifically name the titles, not the individuals, but titles. And so the mayor, the city clerk, and then our finance director, city treasurer, are the ones that are authorized to be able to open and maintain accounts, sign checks, drafts, and other withdrawals. And then they can assign other people access as they choose to online. So any questions you have?
Thank you. Any comments from the public? You sure? Last chance. All right, would someone like to introduce resolution 2024-76?
I'll introduce resolution number 2024-76.
Resolution number 2024-76 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer, designating depositories for city funds and to authorize the mayor together with the city treasurer and city clerk to open and maintain accounts along with signing checks, drafts, and other withdrawals.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2024-76 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-76. Please register your votes.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. And before we move to item number 17.
Come on now.
Mr. Green, do you have a... very short administrative report.
You asked for the impossible. I'm sorry.
Councilmember Wolf gave you 3 minutes.
3 minutes. I wasn't on the agenda because I wasn't supposed to be here tonight, mainly because tonight was not supposed to be tonight. It was supposed to be last week, but several of you were not able to make it, and so appreciate the flexibility for those who are on the agenda, but doesn't feel like a Monday. It feels like Tuesday, so it's a Monday night. Lots of good things are happening in these days. There continues to be some travel too, so several of our staff Wednesday through Friday of this week, we're going to be down in Lincoln at the annual Fall League Conference. And so if you need to get a hold of somebody, call City Hall. Don't hesitate to call my cell phone. Reach out to me and we'll kind of let you know where people are and what's going on. Then next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to be out of town as well in Chicago at an airport law conference. And so good opportunity for me to learn a little bit more for the airport's sake. One thing I did want to bring to your attention, we continue to get good news regarding the Hollow Road bypass. And again, appreciate CJ's hard work on kind of working with the state regarding that. We are beginning to hear people who work downtown say, hey, they're noticing that there aren't as many trucks, not as much activity going on. We hope that will continue on in the days to come. One of the things CJ had done is reached out to the state just to talk about other things that we could potentially do that would encourage trucks to use those. And the state came up with the idea, hey, would you like us to put up some signs that talk about an alternate truck route? And so even though Highway 30 and 75 still go through the downtown area, they're willing and gave us a design this week that we told them, go for it, to put up some signs that will try to keep people from going through the downtown area, stay on 19th Street all the way down to where the Hollow Road bypass is, or on 13th Street all the way down there. So even as an example, if you're driving in a truck coming from north 75, heading down to that intersection at 19th and Washington, want to stay on 75, instead of turning left and going to the downtown area, the sign will say alternate truck route 75 straight ahead, and keep them on that road all the way down to the bypass, up over the hill, and then they can turn right, obviously, and head down Highway 75. I'm very, very excited about the state being willing to do that, because we also at the next council meeting are going to have a resolution for you all to consider that would say we officially want the state to move the highway designations out of the downtown area and make it permanent, that basically in some ways North Highway 30 from basically Walmart up to Washington Street. Instead of that being Highway 30, it becomes Highway 75. And instead of Highway 75 from the bypass north of the 13th, then becomes Highway 30 instead. And basically, instead of crisscrossing through the downtown area, they crisscross through that Hollow Road bypass. And if they are able to do that, that gives us the opportunity to take over local control of those key six blocks of the downtown area and begin to do some things that would literally physically keep trucks out of that area. You know, first with the resolution, posting signs, and then we would do some calming devices and other things and get our downtown back, you know, which would be fantastic for us to be able to do. So super excited about what that bypass is looking to do for us. And couldn't be happier. So my 3 minutes are up. Questions, if you have any questions.
Any word on stoplight at Highway 75 on the bypass?
Nothing specific, I don't think.
Nothing specific. The change order was approved, so the wheels are in motion to get everything ordered and get it going, but we're still waiting for the state to do the traffic count and allow us to install it.
And we keep pestering them about the count, and I don't think they want to tell us when they're going to
do it. We went through there the other day, and it was a cluster.
Yeah.
There was a lot of trucks backed up waiting to turn up the bypass coming north on 75 and people waiting to go across on the bypass to 10th, and it was just...
One other thing that I had asked CJ to do, and he's reached out to OPPD, is now that we've annexed part of that area along Highway 75, we've asked them to do a lighting study to extend street lighting all the way down that area. Mm-hmm. That will help a lot with the visibility.
Yep.
Well, we're looking at doing the same thing around the roundabout, both up Highway 133 and Highway 30, going up to the top of the hill. All of that's kind of prime area for development right now. It just looks like you leave town right now at night when you drive out there, and it's ended up being dark. If we get streetlights out there, it's part of the city, and it really needs to be looked at that way. So we're moving forward with all those as well. So, any other questions? Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. Please register your votes.
We're not
going
to let him talk again.
Wants to go home and watch the debate.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Meeting adjourned.